Well, amen. What a blessing, young ladies. You want to change America, dear friend, you start right there. That's where it's at, in our youth, making a difference in their lives, making sure that they are underneath the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that'll make a change in our country. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, Isaiah chapter 59. It's good to be in the house of God. We're glad to have visitors with us. If you're visiting with us for the first time this morning, we're so thankful that you have chosen Lock Haven Baptist Church to worship at, and we're glad that you are here with us, and we hope that you will find yourself at home. Be in prayer about camp. The second camp of the summer is coming up, July 6th through the 10th. If you are going to camp, please see me today. I have forms that you need to fill out and get in and turned in, and so we can have all of our ducks in order. And if you are willing and can help someone would like to go to camp but can't financially, please see me also. That would be a blessing too. And you know, the Lord's been good to us. It's more blessed to give than receive. And I'm glad to have been able to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ eternal life. And I had to do anything for it. Not by works of righteousness which I've done, but it's by His mercy. And I thank God that I know Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Been a pretty dark week, hasn't it? Things have not gone according to what we thought, the way we thought they should go. But God's still on the throne this morning. The Son of God is still seated at the right hand throne of God this morning. He is the great I Am. In Isaiah chapter 59, you find a book that was written some 2,700 years ago. Isaiah was a major prophet, and he was a prophet that was quoted some 300 times throughout the Bible, beyond his own writings. I'd say some people thought he had the word. A lot of his quotes came from the Lord Jesus Himself. You go and you would study it out. So 2,700 years ago, Isaiah, somewhere around in there, wrote this chapter. Chapter 59, verse number 3, if you would. We're going to read down through verse number 20. It's going to be a lengthy little read, so if you'll follow along with me, I'll pause and let you keep up with me as we go along. Isaiah 59, verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies, and conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Verse 6. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destructions are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressings and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Verse 14. The judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departed from evil make himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Verse 17. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in the like of a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Well, if you closed your eyes and got on the time capsule with Doctor Who, you would think that this was written Thursday night, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, 2,700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah to the prophet Judah was a man that was used of God to write these very words to a nation that had very little spiritual life, and he cried out against it, and there were few turning to God. It seemed as if evil was to be the winning side in his day. Kind of sad story, sad commentary there, isn't it, as you read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. It also says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that enter in. God is still God, and God is on His throne. It does not matter what our feelings are or what the laws of the land are. God is the great I Am. And as I, as an individual, have come to realize some years ago that I would have to make decisions in my lifetime, I made those decisions back then. If you're making decisions today, dear friend, whether you're going to stand for God or not, there's still time. But those decisions should have been made a while back. What we've seen this here week is what we have sown for 40 years. It did not by 1 minute catch me by surprise. I told the men in Sunday school that I felt that it would have been a more greater margin of dissent. I really thought only two would say no. But to my surprise, four did. Kind of reminded me of the story where God said, I have 7,000 that have not yet bowed a knee to Baal. I thought it would be coming. Someone asked me a week ago whether or not I thought it would pass, yes or no. And I said then, yes, because we have sowed this way. This is exactly what we've sowed as a nation. When I read this passage of Scripture, it seems as though Isaiah was saying to the nation of Judah, hey, where is God? Is God weak right now? Where is God? Is God deaf right at this moment? Where is God? Some have wondered if God really even cared anymore. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 142, verse number 4, I looked on my right hand, and nobody seemed to care. I looked on my right hand, my left hand, and nobody seemed to care. But he realized the Lord cared. The Lord cared. It has been a dark day, dark hour, dark week in our history as a nation. But I'd submit unto you some more history. From the creation of mankind to Noah was 1,500 years. God had to move. From Noah and the floods to the destruction of Sodom, there was 430 years. And God had to move. From Sodom to Isaiah, to this portion of Scripture, there was 1,300 years that had passed. And God had to write this for them in that day, but looks as though it was written for us today. And as we look at it, and from Isaiah to today, there's been 2,700 years. And there come a time before the Old Testament, the New Testament was closed, that for 400 years, from Malachi to Matthew, that God spoke not to man. But yet God remained on the throne. From Genesis to Noah, God was on the throne. From Noah to Sodom, God was on the throne. From Sodom to Isaiah, God was on the throne. From Isaiah to today, I declare unto you, the great I Am is on the throne. The people thought that God was deaf and could not hear. They thought that God had deserted them. Their prayers was going unanswered. The problem was, their prayers was not going to the God of heaven. They were consuming prayers on their own lust. God, I need you in my life. I've got to get this 401k in order because I'm going to retire in 20 years. So God, I need you to give me another means of gaining stock. You know where our prayer was? Church. Lost souls. Sins. It was consumed on our lust. God, I need you, Lord. I'm driving around a 19-year-old car, and it's got 227,000 miles on it. God, I need a new car. Are those true needs? Are your retirement something that God's not concerned with? God said, hey, I'll feed you and I'll clothe you and I'll house you if you seek first the kingdom of God. God's concerned about your retirement. God is concerned with your vehicle needs. I don't know anybody that rode in this morning on a goat or a donkey. Every one of us came in some kind of automobile. Maybe one or two of you may walk. Some of you might have some mechanical issues with the vehicle you're driving, and I'm here to tell you that God is concerned with a preacher. How do you know God's concerned? Because He says if one sparrow falls, He knows it. He knows the hair on your head. He is concerned with those issues in our life. But those issues cannot be the priority of our life. They cannot be the focus of my drive. My drive has to be my affection set on things above, which is Christ Jesus. And the Bible says He looked for a man in verse 17, and He wondered, where was the intercessor? So when the vote came Thursday, I was not caught by surprise. Tell you who else wasn't caught by surprise. God. So Isaiah set the record straight. Go back to verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He set the record straight. God cares. God's concerned. The problem's not God. God is well able. The problem is my sin. Not my brother, not my sister, not my daughter, not my son. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my boss, not my cousin, not my president, not my governor. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Your iniquities, your sins. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot reach. The great Creator was still God of the miracles. The problem is our little fickle feelings get hurt when God doesn't move on our behalf or our own desires and lust. God don't care about me. I'm 20 years old. I don't have a wife yet. Could be a blessing. Could be a curse. For me, it's a blessing. For others, it's a curse. But you're mad at God because you don't have a husband, you have a wife, you're mad at God because you haven't finished college yet. Listen, take more than 3 hours a semester and you might finish before you're 35. You're mad at God because you're working 46 hours a week instead of 72. If you gave you 72, you'd miss more church than you do. Amen, preacher. Thank you, Adam. Their feelings about God were based not on truth, but they were based on circumstances. You understand something? My circumstance does not change who God is. God is the God of my circumstance. God is the God of the mountain. God is the God of the valley. God is the God of sickness. God is the God of death. God is the God of life. He giveth and he taketh. He does not ask our opinions. He says, love me. Serve others, and I will help you to get through this. Amen. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving, by the way. Can I say that just for a minute? How many of you ever been deceived by your feelings? Oh, man. You think, something you desire, something you want, and when you get it, it's not what you thought it was. Some of you young ladies right now are thinking that you have to have a young man that is robust and cut and ripped and got abs and muscles in his back and got hair on his head. But listen something, when he gets 46, he starts looking like this. I don't have a six-pack no more. I walk around with a 2-liter. Maybe a 3-liter. The six-pack never came. I did sit-ups, crunches, sit-ups, crunches, sit-ups. Kept looking, sit-ups, crunches. Next thing I know, there was a 2-liter bottle down in there. Oh, he's going to love me. He's going to make the desires of my heart. Oh, she's going to make me a better man. There's only one person that makes you better, and that is Christ Jesus, the hope of glory inside of you. So your feelings deceive you. Their feelings had deceived them. They thought God didn't care about them. God wasn't concerned. And Isaiah turned around and he set the record straight. He said, it's not God, it's you. God has not become deaf. God's power is not diminished. God's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. It is your sins and your iniquities. This is the problem. Your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from them. They have become violent people in that day. We're violent. We're violent. I mean, God died for the sins of the world and we still have hatred amongst people. You kidding me? It was Jesus Christ alone that hung on that cross. Let me tell you this right quick. He wasn't a KKK member. He wasn't a Black Panther member. He was the Son of God. Amen. that died for the sins of the world, and yet there's hatred in our country still yet today. And we should be showing the love of Christ. They became a nation of liars. Everything they tell us has been falsified. And I told you this last week, you better quit riding the donkey and get off the elephant. You better get on a lamb. And quit drinking your tea, too. And if you need to smoke your pot because you're a libertarian, that's fine, too. Get off of him. It's Jesus, dear friend. None of them politicians are going to help you. They're in for themselves. They make decisions for their careers. They're no more statesmen than I am a snake. They used to be statements. They used to be caring for the people. They was there to vote the will of the people and the mind of the people. They're there now to gain riches and gold and get it to themselves. The only one that hasn't changed this game is God. Yesterday, today, and forever. No one was interested in justice anymore on that day. 2,700 years ago. No one was interested in justice. Not a person. Our scientists are so smart and so well educated, they can go off into the Hubble telescope and look 60 billion light years away and say there might be a living cell out there in another universe somewhere, and they call it life. A doctor that lives right here in Orlando that does an ultrasound and sees a little cell with a heartbeat in there, and they call it mush. Get that. It's life. Nobody interested in justice. Nobody. Rachel, what are we going to do? They've chosen crooked paths. Man of God after man of God after man of God has chosen a crooked path. There's one path, and that's Jesus who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And yet we offer different analogies, different philosophies, different thoughts. And when we're asked in public and we're asked in a broad spectrum where the nation can see, we say, well, there's many ways to heaven. No, there's not many ways to heaven. Jesus Christ and Him alone died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Preacher, what are we going to do? Well, man, my house will serve God. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 17. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must first begin in Washington, D.C. The time has come that judgment must begin in Tallahassee. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? It's me, O Lord. I've treated your word as a bag of trail mix. I've looked inside and there's been 17 items in trail mix, and 8 of them I didn't like, so I left them there to the bottom. We looked throughout the Scriptures, all 66 books of them, and we found things that were not comfortable to the flesh. But they were a road to righteousness. And we said to ourselves, a little leaven will not hurt. And we've convinced ourselves that a little leaven will not hurt. And the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Judgment has to begin with us. I've been doing a series with the men on revival. I'm working out a series for our church that I will eventually preach sometimes, 4 or 5 messages on revival. But I've come to understand something, that revival has to begin with individuals. Whenever God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, in James 4, he said, if you humble yourselves, we have to have a little bitty fire, a little bit of kindling, and it's got to spread throughout our church. And then it spreads to our community. Then it spreads to our state. Do I desire a revival in our land? Oh, yes, I do. But asking for a revival for America when there's no revival in my heart and no revival in my church, I'm asking amiss. And I'm consuming it on my own lust. I don't know the reason that the heart's desire is that give me revival worldwide, but we don't want it individually. Selfishness. We have to consecrate ourselves. We have to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice to God. Perhaps that's the reason. But I do know that it is quite possible if we quit robbing ourselves of a daily relationship with Christ Jesus, with the things around us and the things of this world. Go to verse 21 in Isaiah 59. Isaiah gave us in 3 through 20 the problem of them. He gave us the rebuttal in verses 1 and 2. And then he closes here in the final chapter, final verse of the chapter. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth until SCOTUS votes. Forever. 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 All you young ladies that sung a while ago, will y'all mind coming up here this morning with Pastor? All you young girls that sung. We're about to close. Preacher, why didn't it catch you by surprise? Because they've kicked the Ten Commandments out of our schoolhouse. Prayer out of our schoolhouse. They've excluded God out of our schoolhouse. People have become tickling, people wanting itching ears and tickling tongues and honey. Churches don't want to be talked to about the things of the Bible. They want a pastor to get up and make them feel good and be there for them at the wedding and be there for them at the funeral. And at birthday parties, show up and give a blessing at the birthday party. They want pastor to be there then. They don't want pastor to stand up and open the Word of God. But preacher, that's just a little bit too difficult for today. It's difficult because we're involved in it. We're not willing to give it up. We're not willing for God to chisel it out. We want to hold on to it. So we tell pastors, that's not for today. And so many men of God said, well, listen, I've got to keep my job, so I've got to make sure that I please the people. If you want failure, you be a people pleaser. Amen. You better please God. Amen. You want to make a difference in our nation? You better keep these girls under godliness, righteousness, and holiness. have them in a house of God where a man of God will preach the book every time the doors are open.
Amen.
If the doors are open, we're going to be there. You want to know why they made that vote? Those same men have grandkids that haven't darkened the church door in probably years. And they haven't taken them. Because granddad probably got on to dad and mom about raising them with a little bit of morality, a little bit of righteousness, and said, you don't have to have them in church every time the doors are open. You want to make a difference in our nation and our land? You let these young ladies grow up to love God, love Christ, marry into a godly young man, raise up children that will love and serve God. If you don't want it, keep making sure they're always at Wonderland over there. What's that place? Yeah, that one too. That other big one. Starts with a W.
Disney World.
Yeah, Disney. That starts with a W, doesn't it? Yeah, it's just back on the other side of the land over there. You keep them over there every Sunday. Keep them over at Aquatica every Wednesday. You keep them over at Waterland and Wetland and Soccer Land. And you keep them outside the house of God. And when they grow up and they become leaders in this nation, no wonder there's no righteousness. It must begin first at the house of God. Preacher, why? Because Christ died and gave Himself for the church. Christ died and gave Himself for the church. Girls, y'all did great. You did wonderful. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Run to Jesus. When you get old enough to have suitors come around looking for you to be a couple, make sure they're running to God. And if they're not running to God, leave them behind. Listen, a young man that's not willing to get along with God and spend time with God and be a godly man, he's not worth being your man. Thank you, ladies. Y'all sit down. Let's stand to our feet. Preacher, what are we going to do? We're going to do exactly what we've been doing, preaching the Word of God, loving people, serving others, and serving our community and ministering to our community through the Word of God. Standing fast on the Bible. What page?
264.
264, church.
Oh,
And no matter what takes place in our country, God is still God. This isn't the first time He's dealt with this kind of a situation throughout biblical history. We just need to do what we have been commissioned to do. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. You know the Word of God says, such were some of you. Amen. Jesus can do the changing. Jesus can do it. Let's love Him. Let's stand fast on the Word of God. And let's keep serving a holy and righteous God. Father, we love You. We thank You for such an opportunity as this. I'm not sure, Lord, why we were born during this time, that we would face this here in our hour. I'm sure, like Esther, when she was being reared and raised up, and the Bible says, at such a time as this, Your reason is still in front of us. Help us, Lord, to fulfill Your will in our life, for our church's life, that we might honor You and serve You and love You and love this world full of sinners to Christ. God, help us to know that we can't change, but You can change. And You're well able and well willing to do it if we just humble ourselves and draw nigh to You. In Jesus' name, amen.